With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
WrestleMe Pete!
We are hot to trot, people. We've had a coffee with some sweet caramel in there.
Sweet caramel.
I've been outside to run downstairs to Ryman's to get a SD card.
Yeah.
Only 32 gigabytes.
We're not one of those podcasts that normally starts by going, oh, it's been a real nightmare. Because normally it isn't. Normally it is pretty good. Today, bad luck.
Bad luck.
I don't want to mention it, but I've got quite a severe sore throat.
Have you?
Yeah, right. Now that's always something that rings a bell now, isn't it? In the old days, people used to go, oh, you've got a sore throat. Now they go, virus
it's
carrier.
It's because you've stayed up late watching wrestling. You've had a very heavy wrestling calendar.
Much too heavy, Pete. Much too heavy. There is nothing more that ruins the whole WrestleMania experience for me than the whole WrestleMania experience.
Yeah, true.
It is too long. I worked out, right? It's Tuesday today.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching on Friday morning.
Aye.
So you have to avoid social media as well. You don't want to have the results ruined. Because what could be worse than watching a bad match that you know how it's going to end? And I worked out that I've watched, from Friday until today, I've watched 23 hours of wrestling.
Yeah.
So that'll be the equivalent of every 4 minutes I say to you, I'm just going to watch a minute of wrestling. And I do that for 4 days.
Yes, okay, right.
I watched two takeover shows. I watched the NXT UK special.
Mm-hmm.
I watched both nights of WrestleMania. And I watched Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 6 and then the Spring Break show from
right.
Game Changer Wrestling.
That's too much. Like, it's like you've travelled out there and made a weekend of it. That's too much stuff.
It's much too much. I stopped enjoying it, I would say, midway through the second takeover special. And I was also like, oh, I've got a sickening amount of stuff that's still going to be like pouring out. It is much, much too much. The going to two nights has always seemed to me like, yes, that's a sensible thing.
Mm.
But actually what you get is you sort of go, there's a lot, isn't there? There's too much. There is too much. And the days maybe of the sort of 7 hour 30 sort of WrestleMania, which I think, certainly if this one isn't, the one before was.
Yeah.
Those days are gone, but they're not really gone, are they? They've just been weirdly postponed, and you're still getting a 7 hour long show that would be if it was 3.5 hours long and you could just go, let's have the best bits. Now, of course, you're not always going to know what the best bits are, but you're also going to be able to have an idea as you put the card together, the ones that could probably, you know, be
could
killed,
like, yeah, yeah.
could be shot
yeah,
in the
yeah,
head.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is just too much. There is a point after WrestleMania, I would say, in the 10 days afterwards,
you don't want to watch wrestling.
I feel like I'm done. I really
and
feel like I'm done.
It's the best time to do a WrestleMe and part two of a show that you kind of half remember from 2 weeks ago.
That's also the problem. So I've seen 23 hours of wrestling. And I watched this show probably 2 weeks before we were recording this now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to work out what I've seen and what is in the future and lying ahead. One of the reasons for that is also slightly that stagnation. There are a lot of the same people appearing at the same WrestleManias in this period. If you like, look at WrestleMania 4 and you go 2 years later to WrestleMania 6, they are very, very distinct events.
Mm.
We, for the last 7 years of WrestleMania, they've all been pretty weirdly interchangeable with the same people in slightly different combinations.
Yeah.
We do see that here. There's a couple of matches sort of involving like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as a tag team.
Mm.
And they were facing off at this WrestleMania. It is a bit of a blur.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And it's something I guess we've kind of been spared because there's been so many kind of changing of the guards over the years. But this kind of run of like 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, same people, like moved, even like characters that I find very exciting, Asuka. like, is she's in every WrestleMania now, it
yes.
seems.
Yeah, she
and,
is.
And augmented reality was back for this one, which is very enjoyable.
Yes.
And they look as shit as ever.
It's amazing that they've done it and they've gone, do you know, it's never quite worked. And they go, but do you know what? Maybe it'll work if we do it at this WrestleMania. We'll go to the same guy as we always go to.
Yeah.
Maybe he suddenly in this year has made a leap.
He's managed to master his craft. But no, we'll go to the synth. We'll get these really eerily, like, crappy kind of movies, games and videos / ITV chart show style graphics. And we'll have a big pirate skeleton man sort of hanging over the top of the stadium.
Gary, can we ask, when we do have the big skeleton over the stadium, does his arm move back and forth with the cutlass? No. He's just like an inflatable, but he's a graphic.
An inflatable would have been better because it might have protected the stadium from the rain.
That inflatable would have been halfway across the Atlantic before the first match had even started with that weather. We are back in the middle of WrestleMania 34. This is worth saying as well, I've noticed this. I picked up the Blu-rays of this WrestleMania and the one before.
Okay.
Because my internet provider is really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm watching it, it goes really, really blocky. It's like a really crappy Russian stream that you used to get at the sort of turn of the 2000s on the tiny little thing. So I've become so frustrated with it. I've thought, do you know what? I'm just going to buy the Blu-rays and I'm going to be able to watch them. And what I've noticed is they've dropped the numbers of WrestleMania. So they've stopped calling them by the numbers. And this year's WrestleMania, which I think is 38... Mm. No mention of 38 at all.
Right.
Not once.
Why?
They've gone for the years. And I think it's because the numbers are high enough now that they're feeling they aren't sexy.
Yeah, so, okay.
WrestleMania,
so I guess 69.
Yeah. WrestleMania 38, say. Mm. You're going, that sounds like it's been going a long time, but not a really long time. And it's just, there's a slight thing as well where I sort of look at it and I kind of go, the WWE are officially saying that my age, for example, is not one that they feel is appealing to a younger demographic. So they've just got to scrap it.
Yeah, I guess when it kind of, it pulls into sharp focus how long this goddamn thing's been going.
Yeah, and I think 50, you're now like, it is an institution.
Yeah.
But 38, you're just like, oh, long time.
long time.
The first match of almost the, I say it's almost the second half of WrestleMania. We actually have to get two matches in and then do the Hall of Fame before even at the halfway point.
That seems strange.
It's such a long, show. SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The Usos, versus the Bludgeon Brothers, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, versus The New Day. Last show, I was keeping a tally of how many performers were in this WrestleMania. Mm. The six there take us up to a total of 72.
Right.
Not even halfway, Pete.
Not even halfway.
It starts with The New Day coming out, and they've got Xavier Woods playing his trombone. Mm. And suddenly, a load of people of small stature come out with pancakes.
Yeah.
It sort of looks a little bit like a Blaxploitation remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm unsure whether this is a good look.
They're not performers, are they? They are just accoutrement. They may as well be augmented reality dwarves.
Well, that's, in a way, would be sort of
better.
I don't know. But you are employing them, and they are getting a payday.
I guess so. But I mean,
one of them does a caterpillar on the outside of the ring, and that for me, I was like, wow, that's you know, he's really good at that. But I also thought, if it was someone of fully sort of, you know, if you like a more an average stature, I think you'd sort of go, oh, the dickhead. And so I found myself having to go, I have to treat this person.
You have to treat this person the same.
The same as I would treat anyone else. Mm-hmm. So I loudly said, oh, what a dickhead. But he was performing in that way. And the crowd do sort of go, ooh, like, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, oh, no, I've got to pretend I did expect that. Because I see all people as being equal.
And so your wife comes in and she just sees you booing some people. Some
I would say if there was a video out that said, people of diminished stature do breakdancing. Mm. That would never be bought without a horrible streak of nasty irony.
Yeah.
If you saw that in someone's house, you'd immediately go, think less of them. Think less of them. Do you want to watch this? No, I'm not eight. B, I'm not nasty. So I have to look at it through those things and actually sorry to say, New Day are cancelled.
Get out, lads.
This is a very, very generic, forgettable match.
Yeah,
it feels like it could have been on television.
It's weird, you sort of like, because I haven't watched a lot of New Day, and I do like them, but this was just kind of like, they sometimes you just find them in matches that are just like, it's just nothing matches.
Yeah.
Really. And they do have a different style to everyone else. They get afforded a little bit more of an entrance, a little bit more stuff going on. But yeah, without that, there's very little to their matches at the moment.
Yeah, it's very true. They do have a period where they are so over, and yet the booking around them is very, very weak.
Mm.
They are great. We've got the Bludgeon Brothers here as well, who are the former Wyatt family. They'd been the Wyatt family for a few years,
right,
and then they've come out with this sort of, after I think Luke Harper returned from an injury, they've come back with this sort of, I mean, they're a bit sort of like the orcs or something from Lord of the Rings, but they look like themselves.
Yeah.
There's no attempt to sort of dress that up. The problem with this is, because they're so associated with that really successful gimmick, this just feels like a really, really very basic attempt to reset them and go, look, they're fresh again. They are no longer stale. Mm. And just that hanging over it, you really do sort of just go, no, this has not worked at all.
Yeah.
It's a weird match again, insofar as I think if you said, you know, has this match been on WrestleMania, it would be very hard to remember it had been. I mean, it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of so much talent. Everyone in that match, incredibly talented. Six people coming together and creating something that you just don't want to see. And the moment it's finished, you're like, I have no recollection of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself is an art.
Disposable colours and shapes and lights.
Then we go through to John Cena. But is he having a match, Pete?
I mean, just the poor referee is working hard for the money here. He's running all over the gaff. He's just, there's more augmented reality in the ring. It's just,
they basically had a sense with this where this, of course, is the match he will have with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And what they did here was they decided not to announce it as a proper match.
Right.
And part of the reason...
Well, Undertaker breaks down.
I think it was a bit of that, but it was also trying to manage the expectations of the audience.
Mm.
If you say you've got The Undertaker versus John Cena, people are going to expect a proper match.
Right.
And if you just go, Undertaker is not having a match with John Cena, everybody, he's not doing it, whatever you choose to then give them, they will go, oh, that was a bonus.
Yeah, I saw those too.
Yeah, we were hoping for it, and then we got to see it. But
we got
what
to see 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, exactly. Yeah. If they'd have been promoting that as a match,
it would have to have been 50 minutes long.
Totally. Yeah, people would have been furious. Mm. So it's a really clever way of working out how to creatively use The Undertaker in a way that isn't going to expose him and, you know, make his tattered legacy even more shredded. Cena comes out, you see, and he's just sort of waiting for The Undertaker, and the crowd are really sort of, you know, they know what's going to happen.
Mm.
The lights go out, and then out comes Elias. Now, this is really, really good WWE troll booking, where they purposely give you something you don't want. Half the time, that would have been it. But on this occasion, they do sort of decide, no, this is just to make the main course all the sweeter. We're going to serve you up a starter of raw human shit. I like Elias. I don't like his matches.
Yeah.
He's not raw human shit. It was just an analogy about food. out he comes. He was supposed to be part of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale earlier, but they pulled him from the match, which again, it slightly suggests these things are being done at the last minute.
Yeah.
He's ended up in the Battle Royal, and they go, we will take him out because we've got this big program with The Undertaker. Why was he announced for that Battle Royal if this is all planned?
Yeah.
All a bit unplanned.
Mm.
Jonathan Coachman on commentary, when he comes out to face Elias, he just says, I've never seen John Cena less into something than this. Did you not see him propose to Nikki Bella, you twat? Oh, man. Anyway, as Cena walks back, having sort of, you know, beaten up Elias, the lights suddenly go out, and The Undertaker suddenly appears. Mm. He has a really purple entrance here, and the purple entrance, which they've done for a lot of these WrestleManias, just... It does not work on television.
Mm.
You just get whiteness, and you can't really make anything out. And it goes on for so long. These long, long entrances. And when finally they take that purple light out and you do see him, I mean, he looks like a massive, dead, melancholy, droopy dog. He is appallingly sad.
He's a bit more mobile than he's been in recent... It was his post-hip replacement or something? I can't tell whether he seemed quicker.
I think it is, yeah. Right. But I think it's also because he basically has had a year to prepare himself to do 2 minutes in the ring. This is actually a good way of booking him. And I think had he not been so full of, I need to go out with a classic, that this would have been a good way for him to spend really the rest of his career, which is coming out for those yearly appearances that everyone is excited to see him. You do something that is short, so people are happy to see him. He doesn't sort of disgrace himself.
Yeah.
And then everyone can watch him win and then go home. So it's just a sort of simple thing. It's the way that they were talking about booking Goldberg at one point, where he would be just this sort of gnarly old guy who, when you got to a certain level, he'd suddenly turn up and say, okay, well, now, you know, come into the ring with me.
Mm.
That John Wayne sort of idea about this, you know, battered old lawman. And that would have worked for The Undertaker. Now, I remember this as it started. I remember this match as being like 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And I didn't think there was even a bell ring. So it was sort of unofficial. But it is a proper short match.
Yeah.
And it's 2.5 minutes. It's
I found
a greatest
this,
hits.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. It hit a lot of the right notes for me. And look, it was 2 minutes 5 seconds.
I know. Yeah, it's difficult to go badly wrong
that
time.
Yeah.
One of the things you do really see about this is how generous John Cena is.
Yeah.
Because John Cena realises he is not there to, like, you know, if you like, appeal to the people who have come to see John Cena.
Mm.
He is there as an absolute sacrificial lamb,
star,
a punching bag. He is there to just be undertakered and then he can go home. And he gets an undertakering.
He undermines the women's fight. And then he
yes,
goes
that's
on to
true.
Do that.
I will only lose clean in the ring to The Undertaker if I'm allowed to slightly chip away at the strides the women's wrestling has made. It was the battle of two men with the most victories at WrestleMania. The Undertaker has 24 and Cena had 10.
Mm.
It did make me think this, actually. Cena's missed out on a lot of what would have seemed like dead certain big WrestleMania main events with contemporary performers who he was around with. I don't think anyone else has missed as many obvious big matches that he could have had as John Cena. He could have had a proper one with The Undertaker. He could have had one with Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, a Brock Lesnar WrestleMania match, and Roman Reigns.
Mm.
And none of those matches ever happened at WrestleMania. He did have a good series with The Rock, and he also had a surprisingly great match with Shawn Michaels. But then he did spend a lot of time with JBL, Big Show and The Miz. And it is funny. I know people aren't huge and excited about seeing John Cena do 30 minutes or anything, but when you look at the names that he could have and should probably have had main events with, it's sort of surprising.
Hmm.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Join us on the Football Ramble as we explore the ridiculous world of football. We bring in-depth analysis of the biggest moments, like Bruno Fernandes' one-eyed penalties.
Sounds like a Metallica song.
Yeah, it does.
Obviously, like, one eye open.
But if you have one eye closed, you know your perception. So imagine if you tried the dink and it just like went like 2 feet in front of him.
Yeah. Every weekday we cover the good, the bad and the Newcastle.
Although Shelby wasn't surprised either. He said the way they play isn't great.
And you couldn't fucking beat him, could you?
Could Shelby be the mole?
Didn't Bruce accuse the mole of treason?
To the Geordie Nation.
Yeah.
Putting the football world to rights.
If you want to put a message on a T-shirt under your shirt, slag it off your mind.
Yeah.
That is an absolute minefield in the dressing room.
Don't worry, lads, I'll put it in another language. Do you know how many languages that man speaks?
Not with Roy. That went with Roy.
We're here with the biggest stories from the sport we love, and we want you to get involved too. Search the Football Ramble on your favourite podcast player to listen now.
This was a Stakhanov production.
On to the Hall of Fame.
It's happening.
It is. Mark Henry comes out wearing his lovely salmon pink.
Yes,
he was very lucky to have one great angle in the dying days of his career.
It's incredible. Everybody's really sort of happy that he's wearing it.
Yeah. Hillbilly Jim is in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Amazingly popular with all the wrestlers, Hillbilly Jim. Supposed to be a really nice guy.
Oh, nice.
Ivory comes out as well. Attitude Era female performer. Very good one as well. Started off in Glow.
Did we see her? Did we sort of see her in
Did we see her? No, I don't think we did.
In WrestleMania.
In her speech in the Hall of Fame, she sort of did it as a mock wedding ceremony between her and the fans,
right,
because she'd never managed to find someone to marry her in real life. And it's one of those things that on paper, sort of, you would go, yeah, that's really nice. I can see what you're doing. And in the room, it was weird. It was all a bit sort of desperate and culty. And it really did sort of like, you know, set your teeth on edge. Jeff Jarrett is in the Hall of Fame. The Warrior Award goes to a young lad called Jarius J.J. Robertson.
Fantastic.
A lot of charisma that kid's got,
oh,
I tell you. He mentions his least favourite wrestler is The Miz.
Enjoyable.
They cut to a shot of The Miz.
Going, oh, man.
Miz is the only person really who that happens to, and you would go, definitely get a shot to him. If he was going, my least favourite wrestler is Triple H, they'd be like, oh, and Triple H just sit there and go, why I honour. But Miz just sort of goes, yep, well, here we are again.
I get it.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate.
Happen.
Everyone cheering you. I'm not going to be able to turn this crowd against the Warrior Award winner. The Dudley Boys come out. Kid Rock, who says this is better than any Grammy any day of the week.
Yeah.
How many
Grammys does he actually?
Probably
has quite a few. Yeah.
Probably
he's probably
more
got
than
more than he deserves, isn't it? Yeah. I think I said before, he looks like Mickey Rooney playing Macaulay Culkin. He looks broken.
He always looks to me like he would smell of piss.
Yes, looks like piss. Yeah, smells like piss, lives in a caravan.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Considering it is better than a Grammy any day of the week, I mean, it's a surprise he didn't bother turning up to the ceremony live when they had it. And then you get Goldberg. And this is this would do really what the Hall of Fame has now become famous for doing, which is it brings people who hate the WWE, who hate working with Vince McMahon, who hate everything the WWE stands for. It gets their vanity and ego, and it brings them back in, and they end up having another little run. So, like with the Ultimate Warrior, like with Bruno Sammartino, Goldberg would end up becoming quite a, you know, important hand result of being brought back for this.
He's all over the network at the moment. You see little documentaries of him, kind of like going, as long as you've got like dedication and stuff. And
yeah,
like, wow.
I think obviously they do pay him a lot of money, so I think there is a sense of going,
of
we might make him
worth,
get to do
yeah.
stuff. One of the other things that brings people back is and usually leads to the Hall of Fame is the WWE SmackDown franchise, the 2K series. Often the developers of that had been negotiating with talent to be in the game. They did it with Kurt Angle, they did it with Goldberg, they did it with The Warrior.
Right.
And that was one of the things that opened the door to people dealing with the WWE again and then getting into the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
and
that's
then
nice.
They would often spin out from there.
Yeah.
So once that is done, this is the halfway point. I think the halfway point actually is one of the better points, which is it is outside. They're introducing the Hall of Famers,
yeah.
And little Jarius JJ Robertson does a sort of great sort of
cool dance.
Yeah, what is that dance called? Like a. I mean, I'd say a frog, but that's from like the 60s. It's sort of like a crunk sort
yeah.
of. He's just exciting.
I love him. And give him a little Google. I believe his dad was taking cash from his fund.
Oh,
going to the casino with it. So I'm fairly certain that was the case.
I'm trying to.
Just a nice story.
This is
subverted.
An investment. This is an investment. If it comes up trumps, no one will shout at me. It's just like stocks and shares, only quicker. He is a very charismatic lad, which is surprising that on the night which is in a business which is essentially built around charisma, he is far more charismatic than anyone else we see in this show. It sort of makes everyone look bad apart from him. We go on to the next match, which is Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. We're now up to 79 people, 86 if you include the Hall of Fame,
good
which
Lord.
I do.
This a lot of hotel rooms. And some of them will be big enough stars where they'll get their own kind of like a suite, I suppose. This
yeah.
is a nightmare.
I have a feeling that, I mean, that must be one of, apart from like the fact you have to pay everyone, it'd be that thing if you ran the WWE, you'd go, we can make some serious money here. And it's yeah. only when you start going, they're all asking for breakfast.
That you go, they all want breakfast vouchers and taxis from the airport.
There is no way we can make money on this.
No,
there
exactly.
is no way.
Nightmare.
This is the return of Daniel Bryan after 2 years in retirement. Now, we never get a sense of this because we only watch a maximum of like three shows.
He's been away for like 1 year. Yeah. One show.
He retired in February 2016 from medical reasons. He had suffered 10 undiagnosed concussions while he was wrestling throughout his career. The interesting part about it was he had been cleared by a number of doctors. One was the doctor of the Arizona Cardinals, and he passed a concussion test at UCLA. But WWE's head of medical, who is a guy called Joseph Maroon, he refused to clear Daniel Bryan to return to the ring. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer said that may have been because Joseph Maroon had been heavily criticised and portrayed in a negative light in a film which had come out, a documentary called Concussion.
I think he was being sensitive.
Yeah, very much so. So over the last couple of years, Daniel Bryan had basically asked for his release from WWE, and he was looking to return to New Japan and Ring of Honor. He would have also gone to Mexico in CMLL. The request was turned down by Vince McMahon, and while Bryan was trying to prove that he was fine, he had another test where a lesion in his brain was discovered. Once that appeared, he sort of went, oh no, okay, you're onto something here, I'm going to have to retire. That chronic lesion in his brain had led to him having these post-concussion seizures. And he
Good
realized
God.
This is actually, you know, this isn't a case of, you know, well, it's 51%, 49%. There was something very serious there. He was given different jobs in WWE. They said, you know, we would like you to be an ambassador. They made him the general manager of SmackDown. But he compared that to, he said, it was like a partner breaking up with you, getting married to someone else, and then asking you to be best friends. He found it very, very difficult. He did a very emotional retirement speech on a Raw. But he did refuse to accept that this was the end of his career. And he had more than 2 years of evaluations, reviews of his medical history, and he was finally cleared by three external independent neurosurgeons, neurologists, and concussion experts.
God.
And most importantly, by Joseph Maroon from the WWE.
There must be a certain amount of kind of just going through every doctor you can get until you get the decision that you want. I don't wish to be callous about it, but good luck. You've got to be careful about
What's unusual about this, and obviously they did make the determination, and you know this was made unilaterally that he could return. He still has or had a lesion on his fucking brain. And it isn't one of those things that just appears. It's appeared because of the job that he does. There is something awful about it when you begin reading about stuff like that, where you just go, wrestling is not something a human body is supposed to do.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And certainly as well, in a predetermined sport. A predetermined sport allows you to continue beyond the level that you normally would. So if you like, in UFC, for example, yes, people get knocked out and everything, but chances are by the time they hit 32, 33, their career is over.
Yeah, yeah.
That is it, because you just cannot go anymore. And wrestling, of course, you can literally go until you're 70. Mm. And that's what's a strange sort of thing about a pseudo-sport, if you like, which can be more dangerous than actual sport.
Because you think you can control the variables and you frequently can't.
No, exactly that. He was cleared in March 2018, which is about 4 weeks before WrestleMania. Mm. And people were... I remember this at the time. I was really sad to see Daniel Bryan go. Just an amazing, amazing career. And the idea that he was suddenly going to come back was thrilling. There was a slightly annoying part of this, which is he didn't have the big comeback match. He had a tag team match with a member of the McMahon family, which is at WrestleMania. It's just sort of old hat to sort of begin confusing this brilliant, sort of incredible performer who is returning after a career ending injury after 2 years and to go, and also it's the McMahon family angle. We'll put them together. It should have been kept in its own, which is sad. The build up to this match actually included one of Vince McMahon's last physical in ring appearances. He was headbutted by Kevin Owens, who actually made him bleed what they call hard way. Yeah. So it wasn't a fake or a blade. He just headbutted him until he bled. Vince McMahon went down very, very hard on that. He's quite an old man at this point. It's odd how he really likes Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens, to me, seems like nothing that Vince McMahon would like.
Yeah, true.
We've done the WrestleMania where Kevin Owens had one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history, according to Vince McMahon, against Chris Jericho. Kevin Owens is also slightly pudgy. He's got a sort of ratty beard.
Yeah.
He's got little eyes. He's got a slight accent because he's French-Canadian. And all of those things you would think had absolutely turned Vince McMahon off. But somehow, altogether, Vince McMahon is like, this is the guy I want to go out with. Not go out with as in French kissing.
Smooching.
French-Canadian kissing. Vince McMahon was originally planned to be the tag team partner with Shane McMahon in this match. He opted out, and because Daniel Bryan was suddenly back and they had this opening, Bryan was put in his place. Mm. There is a stipulation in this match about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens being reinstated to SmackDown if they win the match. WrestleMania is not a place to do angles for TV for me. I think it should just be pure. This should be the pinnacle. There shouldn't be any repercussions after WrestleMania other than you retire, you have your head shaved, or you lose, or you win. You don't want to sort of go, oh, this will, you know, now we've got to watch next week's TV because their job thing has been, no, just keep it pure. You really want to make it that if someone wants to stop wrestling, they can stop watching wrestling. They can watch a WrestleMania and there are no loose ends. Just want it to end. I would be fantastic. I would be so excited if they said, you know what, though? We are going to end wrestling.
We're done.
There's going to be one last big show.
Yeah.
And that will just be everything come down. I would actually sort of, I think, in some ways, after watching too much wrestling recently.
You're very much up for this.
I would welcome it. I would welcome it. I really would.
Just take a taking on everyone on the card. 87. People.
I would like it as well if they said, just to make sure that we don't backtrack on this and that people don't start opening up their own promotions, the losers will be murdered.
Their legs broken.
They will have their heads cut off.
Yeah.
And the winners will have to set fire to themselves in the center of the ring. If that went back onto pay-per-view, I might not stream that one. I might legitimately buy it.
Blu-ray HD. I think, you would sort of give a wrestler, like knowing full, wrestlers know how most wrestlers die. And I think a lot of wrestlers would take you up on that. Fine.
Will I die with some money? Yes. Yes, you will.
Will my family be protected? Yes.
In some ways. So long as they don't watch this wonderful pay-per-view. It is thrilling when Bryan comes out. I mean, he's got that brilliant Ride of the Valkyries theme.
Yeah.
They show the sort of this great video just building up that spread of the Yes movement, the Yes, 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 which was such an exciting period where a wrestler that you've always enjoyed, who you've seen struggle in WWE, suddenly catches on to a point where it's bigger than WWE. Yeah. That is beyond thrilling. It is always worrying when people return from retirement, because I think you are worried that, especially when they're as good as Daniel Bryan was, that you are going to noticeably see they are softer, that they are pussyfooting a bit, that they've missed a couple of beats. But,
yeah.
I mean, it does make it feel like this is the start of the end of Daniel Bryan's career. But actually, in this match, I mean, he is just, you know, phenomenal. Mm. Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
He Shane McMahon does too much in this match. They're trying to keep Daniel Bryan away. Two reasons, really. One is because, yes, there'll be a huge pop when he comes in. And I think, secondly, they want you to slightly go, oh, he's probably not as good as he used to be.
Yeah.
And they're just holding that back and back and back. And you're going, OK, so he's not going to do all the in-ring stuff. Mm. Maybe he'll come in for a short while.
Yeah.
But actually, when he comes in, he's just brilliant.
Yeah,
he's exactly the same as he was before.
Great, yeah.
What's really pleasing about this is they don't do the easy thing of him coming back from a head injury and within two moves...
Someone's bonking him on the head with a chair.
I know, and he's screaming and his eyes are rolling
my
back.
Head.
My damn lesion! My inner brain lesion! Get off, you rotter! he is really good, but this is not the big, exciting, cathartic return that it could have been. There's a bit really early on where Shane McMahon's kids are in the front row, and Sami Zayn just sort of walks past, and the kids just lean over and they just go, "You got nothing!" And I was just like, oh my God, you know. You forget, don't you? You sort of go, Shane McMahon's kids. But what they are, of course, is they are the grandchildren of a billionaire.
Yeah.
And those kids... Grandkids of billionaires tend to be quite confident. I was looking at it, and rather than finding it charming, like, oh, the kids are going for it, I was like, this is just ingrained in the moment.
They are just born winners, aren't they?
Don't you talk to an adult professional doing his job like that. My grandfather threw you. Oh, God, you horrible little boys. Look, I mean, it ends well. Daniel Bryan runs out and he hugs Brie Bella, his wife, who's in the crowd. I'm counting that as another wrestler appearing. That takes us up to 87.
Okay, get it on the board.
Yes. And then we go through to the the next match. Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax, 89 people. And then Alexa brings out Mickie James. Not counting her, though, Pete, because she was in the Women's Battle Royal.
Of course
earlier.
She was.
Just 89.
Okay, sorry.
Just 89. Right. Pete. Do you remember anything about this match?
I remember there was an atomic drop off the second rope for the win.
Yes.
And I remember going, oh, she's really sort of throwing Bliss around at the start. But other than that, nothing.
No.
Nothing.
They have an angle about here about people body shaming. That's
right,
angle that they've given. An angle they'd never do with a male wrestler.
No, yes. And I'll, yes, just you know. How fat. And I'm trying to think now, the Fiend is. Isn't the Fiend fat?
Well, I would.
Body shaming.
If they did a body shaming angle with like King Kong Bundy, I'd go, actually, that's brilliant. You know, that's really good. There's something that people don't talk about there.
Yeah.
You know, but when it's just, what they do is they have the two things. They go, it's women. What would be a great contemporary thing for women?
Yeah.
They go, well, Nia, you're going to be body shamed. I'm going to be what? You're going to be body shamed by Bliss because she's pretending to be your friend, but she's two-faced.
Yeah.
Like women are.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So you get, sorry.
She's come in gigantic. She's always been gigantic. She'll always be gigantic because she is very tall and very broad. So, like, that is her whole thing, to suddenly sort of get to the top of your game and then somebody goes, hey, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
You're a big lady. It's like,
like watching Shrek lumber, they say. She's just as dumb as she is big. Mm. And I just dropped 300 pounds of sad, pathetic loser. It's such a shit angle. Mickie James is also involved here, and she was the victim of the body shaming the last time they did this exact same angle.
Really? Wow.
Back in 2009. The only thing that's changed here is you have Alexa being two-faced and just saying stuff like she's 300 pounds of loser. In 2009, Mickie James, they renamed Piggy James. And Michelle McCool and Layla L began mocking her for putting on weight. This was basically a thing where the WWE office thought she could afford to lose a few pounds.
That's right. So they weaponized it.
They did that.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So Mickie James, I found a quote where she was talking about being part of that angle. She said, it was hard at the moment, and I think it was hard for everyone in order to do it. There would be times I was like, I think this might
have gone a little bit too far. But I will say the end goal was to get Michelle McCool and Layla Al over as monster heels. And I think it was very successful in that retrospect, she says. Michelle McCool and Layla Al were never over as monster heels. What they were seen as two people stuck in a terrible angle who were horrible. The fact that they're doing this angle again, the only thing that's changed is rather than just going, look at those women shouting at each other, they're now doing a thing where the commentators are going, look at those women shouting at each other. Aren't some of the women awful? It's too long a match for the ability of both of them to put together a sort of compelling WrestleMania level match. It also ushers in the rest of the card being really bad. This is the sort of the canary in the coal mine. People are pleased when Nia Jax wins this. You know, the audience are really pleased. She blubs, and then the commentators come in, and it's just absolutely the you must get these points across because this is what the angle's about. So Jonathan Coachman starts shouting, "For every woman who's ever been bullied, for anyone who's not felt good about themselves, for anyone that's ever been body shamed, Jesus Christ.
You are not solving any of these problems.
No.
You're making them worse."
And Tom Phillips, who's the commentator from Raw at the time, he just says, "Strong, confident, different."
Different. Oh, no.
He might as well have added on the end, "Fat."
Different.
Really big.
Good God. Like half
absolutely
an hour ago.
Acceptable.
We had dwarves in pancake costumes.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Like, half of this will not be on the Peacock Network.
I didn't see when Tom Phillips, when the guys were throwing the little pancakes, didn't it? See him shouting, "Strong, confident, different." Strong, confident, different. Unbelievable.
And I think I remember reading about Nia Jax being actually quite annoyed about the different bit.
Oh.
So she was, as she has every fucking right to be.
Different.
So it's just, I'm just glad that she clocked it. Fuck me.
I mean, it's worth saying as well, imagine being someone saying you're very different.
You're very different.
When they work for a gaggle of monsters, of carnival monsters that make up professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Lordy.
Oh, man. Strong. Confident. Different.
But look, if nothing else, that is how Wrestle Me. We should just steal that, because they're not going to use that again.
No,
it's awful.
No.
Let's use it. Let's take
that
it.
That is a good T-shirt, isn't
yeah.
it? Also, if you saw it, you'd think that's very positive,
yeah,
and you'd be like,
strong,
"No,
different.
You don't
no.
know.
I'm actually abusing women."
We picked up on it because it's so awful, and now we've co-opted it.
Oh wow. Well, yeah, this has been the first of the second half of
yes.
Wrestle Me for people who listen on Patreon. Thank you for sticking with us for the couple of weeks that we didn't have a show for you, but here's the rest of it. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week on the main feed. Or just keep on listening on the Patreon. If you are on the main feed, I don't know why I've decided to introduce the concept of time and studio bookings under COVID requirements and restriction. I don't know why I decided to do it then, but if you're listening on the Patreon, thank you for being a Patreon. If you are listening on the main feed though, why don't you head on over to the Patreon, find out what underwhelming matches are happening next.
Yeah.
She's going to have a root Nakamura and Cesaro is going to be in a Mardi Gras float pretty soon.
It couldn't be better, and it is probably worth getting over to the Patreon sooner rather than later, because you don't want to be caught in the crush. What's he talking about? Oh, you'll find out. Until next time,
Resume Mark,
Resume me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.